Please join me in a word of prayer. God, this is your word, and it is a gift. Open it to us this morning that we might go out and be a gift for others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5. The lectionary is a three-year course of scripture that you can choose to preach from or not, and it takes you basically through the whole Bible over 3 years. I tend to follow the lectionary, and just so you know, the lectionary is going to stick with Luke for the next several months. So if you want to cozy up with the gospel, Luke would be the one to cozy up with in the next few months, because that's what we will be exploring in worship. So this morning, we're in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, and it begins on page 62 of the New Testament in your pew Bible. Listen to the word of God. Once, while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, which is also called the Sea of Galilee, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." And when they had brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Simon already knew Jesus. Before today's story, Simon has already hosted Jesus at his home, and Jesus has already healed Simon's mother-in-law. Simon has presumably plenty of reason to trust and follow Jesus. But Simon is busy with his nets. He's had a long night out fishing with nothing to show for it but some dirty nets. And the crowds that press upon Jesus are presumably a nuisance to Simon. I can see him grumbling to Andrew, his brother, and James and John nearby as he sees Jesus and the crowd coming down the shoreline. They're just going to get in the way. And Jesus, recognizing Simon, he presses upon Simon. "Hey, Simon, let me borrow your boat." And that's not actually in the scripture. That's being kind to Jesus. Maybe Jesus just got in the boat and took it. And so back into the water, Simon pushes the boat. He listens to Jesus as Jesus shares God's word. And it is not an unfamiliar word to Simon. He heard Jesus preach in Capernaum, and he saw Jesus rebuke an unclean spirit there. And he was amazed then and in all of Jesus' power, and he had likely told others about Jesus doing his part to share the news and to grow the crowds. And Simon must have been impressed, at least impressed enough to take a chance on Jesus, because he brought Jesus back to his home, and he showed him his mother-in-law, who was sick and suffering from a fever. He did this because he wondered maybe Jesus might be able to have the power to heal her. And indeed he did. He stood over her and he rebuked the fever, and it left her. And the scripture tells us she immediately got up and started serving them. And then from that incident, a line of sick folk form. And Jesus lays his hands on each of them and cures each of them. And presumably, Simon stands there watching. He heard demons cry out, "You are the Son of God," and he watched as Jesus silenced them one by one. And so he had more reason to believe, more eyewitness evidence than any of the rest of us. And I think he did believe, but he hadn't said yes yet. Simon believed, but he also had fish to catch. And maybe that's where you are today, too. You know and you have seen the power of Jesus. You have been witness to the miraculous things that Jesus can do. You have watched as family, friends, and neighbors have had their lives made new by Jesus. And you've seen countless lives turned around, and you've heard the good news preached, that good news to the poor, release to the captive, recovery of sight to the blind, the oppressed go free, and the year of God's favor and forgiveness reigns. And it's wonderful, wonderful enough to get you here on a Sunday morning. But like Simon, you have fish to catch. You have work to attend to and bills to pay and mouths to feed. It's good news, but maybe a little too good to be true. And so as those growing crowds follow Jesus, you watch from a distance, and you go back to your job fishing. And that's what you've been doing all night, with not much luck, when you see Jesus and that crowd making their way down the shoreline. And Jesus asked to borrow your boat. And really, it's the least you could do for the man who healed your mother-in-law. So you give it to him. And you take Jesus out in your boat just off the shore where he teaches and preaches the word of God. It's that same message you've already heard before. Good news to the poor, release to the captive, recovery of sight to the blind, the oppressed go free, and the year of God's freedom and forgiveness reign. And Jesus wraps up his preaching, and you start moving the boat to the shoreline. But Jesus says, "Go out into the deep waters and drop your nets there." Now, this is an extra annoying request. Cleaning one's nets is a tedious, time-consuming, laborious job. And you've already done it for the day. You are frustrated by an unproductive night of fishing, and you want to go back to that healthy mother-in-law and her good cooking. And so you voice your annoyance to Jesus. "Teacher, we have worked all night long, and we have nothing to show for it." And with a healthy dose of sarcasm, you add, "Yet if you say so, I'll do it." And that's a faithful yes. If you say so, I'll do it. Against my better judgment, I'll do it. Against my disbelief, I'll do it. Against my doggone tiredness, I'll do it. And when Simon drops the nets, they catch so many fish that their nets begin to break, and they signal to their partners, to James and John, the sons of Zebedee, "Come, come and help us." And there are so many fish that both boats take on water for the weight of the fish. It is surprising, it is amazing, and it is powerful. So powerful, in fact, that Simon's attitude changes from reluctance to repentance. He humbles himself before God. He falls down on his knees. "I am unworthy, Lord. I am unworthy. Go away from me, for I am a sinful man." And Luke tells us that all were amazed, not just Simon, Perhaps they heard Simon's declaration and they turned their ear towards Jesus, knowing that they too were unworthy of Jesus's gracious abundance. And maybe that is your moment in today's story. I am unworthy, Lord. I have seen the fullness of your glory, and I am left with a paralyzing awareness of my own sinfulness. I cannot keep your company, God, because my life is one long story of turning away from you. And if that's your moment in this story, then keep reading, because Jesus says to Simon, "Do not be afraid." And Jesus says to you, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you'll follow me, and we will fish for people." And they bring their nets ashore, leaving behind everything, presumably even two boatloads of fish, and follow Jesus. With one big catch, Jesus has secured his first four disciples: Simon, who will become Peter, Andrew, his brother, and their partners, James and John. It's a simple, perhaps familiar story, and it's a story we can relate to, because we too have given Jesus a shrug and a shore, and we too have fallen before Jesus, knowing all too well our own lacking. And so here's the good news for us today. A faithful yes, it can include some resistance. Simon isn't the only one in the Bible who resists the call of God. Moses resists, Isaiah resists, Jeremiah resists, and right off the pages of the Bible, we resist too. We too object, and then we resign. If you say so, sure. And a faithful yes can include some doubt. Simon isn't the only one who doubts. He's not the only one who doubts his worthiness. Moses doubted his worthiness, Isaiah doubted his worthiness, and Jeremiah doubts his worthiness, and right off the pages of the Bible, we doubt too. I am unworthy, Lord. I am sinful, I am unable, I am not enough. And those imperfect but faithful yeses, they continued generation after generation in spite of ourselves, and they let the story of God unfold across space and time right up until even this moment, when a few more faithful yeses will be said, and the story of God will continue. And that moment, of course, is the ordination and installation of our new deacons and elders. It's about to happen. They are your friends, your family, your peers, your neighbors. And they will stand up here with a healthy dose of reluctance and their own portion of doubt, and perhaps against their better judgment, and they too will dare to say yes. Yes, teacher, if you say so. Yes, Lord, even though I am unworthy. And they can say yes, just like Simon, Andrew, James, and John could say yes, because it isn't about them at all, but rather about the one who created them, the one who knit them together in their mother's wombs, the one who claimed them and called them. It isn't about them at all, but rather about God and about God's glory. Simon, Andrew, James, and John, they don't leave everything and follow Jesus because they are confident in themselves and in their own abilities. They leave everything and follow Jesus because they are confident in Jesus and in Jesus's command. It's because of Jesus that they say, "If you say so, I will let down my nets." And these new elders and deacons, they can say yes, just like Simon, Andrew, James, and John could say yes, because they're not up here saying yes as individuals, but as a collective community. They are built up by the presence of one another. They are part of a people. They are called together to turn and to participate. And they say yes with a whole network of Christ followers whose hands will be physically laid upon their backs in support. And that's a faithful yes, full of reluctance against our better judgment, dripping in doubt, and spoken with the support of a community. And so these are the questions. What is God asking of you? What absurd thing is God calling you to do? What uncomfortable task does God want you to complete? What risk is God asking you to take? What work has God already begun in your life as you've witnessed the power of God in the lives of others? What faithful yes are you being invited to give on this day? Because it's not just the deacons and the elders who are invited to say yes, but each and every one of us trying to commit our lives to following Christ. And if we dare to say yes, or if we dare to even just say sure, here's the promise. Something surprising will follow. Something unexpected will unfold. Nets will be made full, boats will be loaded down, and even those same boats will be left behind for something far greater. It's a wonderful thing, and it is the good news of God for us on this day. Thanks be to God. Amen.